as it happens so often, there's a lot I could say about that passage. And as Lenore just read it, this very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, there was about four or five different things that I thought, oh, I wanted to say something about that and that and that and that and that. But I'm only going to talk about one thing. And that is this idea of what the gospel is. So the beginning of that passage says, this is the very, 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 very first words in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, which is probably the very first of the gospels written out, says, this is the beginning of the good news, the gospel. The word good news and gospel are exact synonyms. This is the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is the beginning of the gospel. And one key question that faces Christians is, what is the gospel? What is the good news? And so I want to address that question. And a related one is, what does this good news then mean for us, especially thinking about an Advent? So let's focus thinking about this idea of good news. Whenever I hear the word, I have good news, I always think of old Geico commercials. Do you remember those old Geico commercials? I have good news, I just saved 15% or more on my car insurance. And it was usually set in some kind of funny, some tragedy is happening, and then somebody says, oh, but I have good news, I just saved money on my car insurance. And so in our world, good news has been kind of reduced to the things that we value, superficial things, money, power, pleasure, things that really don't matter. But because we know about language, we know about history, we can read books, we actually know by looking at history and the way words have been used, we know what good news, we know what that word actually meant in Jesus's world. The word good news in Greek is something like euangelion, and that doesn't matter. It's just that word was used in a technical kind of way in the Greek-speaking Roman world that was Jesus' day. And when that word was used, it was used in the context of being good news about the empire, about the king, about Caesar, about a military victory that the empire just won. It had very political kingship overtones to it. And that Mark uses this word is really important. And what that means for us is that to say the gospel in a Christian context, what that means is an announcement or proclamation that Christ is king. That's what it means. At the simplest level, when you think about what is the gospel in Christianity, the gospel is Jesus is Lord. Christ is king. That is what it means. Again, in the ancient world, it would have been something like a new emperor has been born. So somebody would come into town and say, euangelion, good news, good news. A new emperor has been crowned. The emperor won a victory. It was always something about that. And so when Mark says the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Christ, Christ is a word, Messiah Christ. So Messiah is the Hebrew, Christ is the Greek. It means the smeared one, the nicer way to say it is anointed one. So one who poured oil on their head or smeared their forehead with oil. And that's something that you would do to a king to make them king in the ancient world. And so even Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, is a very king kind of language. So again, when Mark is saying the beginning of the good news, the gospel about Jesus, the Messiah, the King, and talks about a voice calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way, It is super political. It is saying that there is a new king coming. There is a new kingdom coming. There is a new way in the world. And that Jesus is king, not Caesar, not you, not anyone or anything else. The one and only true Lord is Jesus. Now that answers the first part of my question that I asked at the beginning. What does it mean? What does the gospel mean? It means Jesus is Lord, Christ is king. But what does it mean for us? And for that, I wanted to look at the Isaiah passage that the lectionary gives us today. And it gives us the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40. And this is a good passage to look at for implications of God being king, of Christ being king. Just one note of background. In this Isaiah 40 passage, you'll hear the words Jerusalem, maybe Judah, Zion. Those words all indicate a place, the city of Jerusalem, the ancient city of Jerusalem, and a people, the people of God. Last week's Advent theme for us was the name of Christ, branch of Jesse. And part of what that theme and name of Christ means is that Gentiles, non-Jewish people, have been grafted into the people of God. It's that horticultural kind of metaphor, that we're not part of the original tree, but we've been grafted in so that we are part of that tree. It's really important to note that Christians don't replace the Jewish people as God's people, that somehow in God's grace, Gentiles are included in God's people. And so one of the ways, one of the implications for that is when we read things like Isaiah 40 and it says Jerusalem and my people and Zion, from a Christian point of view, we, understanding ourselves as being grafted into that, can receive these promises and blessings as applying to us also. So that's all that I'm saying. This is for us also. Here's Isaiah 40, and again, this is what implications of the kingdom of God look like for us. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for. A voice calling, in the wilderness prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. This is good news, because God the King takes away inequality and hardship. And oh, that is good news. Part of this is that we have work in joining God's work in creating equality, and obviously, this is metaphor because the Grand Canyon is beautiful and the San Francisco peaks are lovely and we don't want to ruin the landscape. It's all metaphor. The things in our way that make it hard to go forward are evened out. The places where we stumble and fall and trip are made level so that we don't. The difficult climb over an obstacle is obliterated. And that we have work to do in God's kingdom in trying to make those things real. It is God who finishes it. Remember the words of the Magnificat that we pray and proclaim every week. The strong arm of God scatters the proud in their conceit, casts tyrants down from their thrones, and lifts up the lowly. The Lord fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. And if that isn't a New Testament equivalent, a real working out of every mountain shall be brought low and every valley raised up, the rough ground shall become level, I don't know what is. My point is that the good news of God is that God makes things right in the world. Picking up more on Isaiah, the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I want to interrupt again and say that all people together is good news. A voice says, cry out. And what shall I cry? All the people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In other words, all of the great and horrible things of our lives are really nothing. And that God is the thing that endures, this word of the Lord that says, all shall be made right and all people will see it together. That is the thing that lasts. All of our little attempts are insignificant compared to the greatness and certainty that God will make things right. And again, this is good news because we fail and things around us fail and the powers around us fail, but God does not. And then finally, this last bit. Will Gaffney, who is an Old Testament scholar, she's really brilliant, helped me in translating a little bit of this. And so it won't sound exactly like what we're used to, but her insights were very helpful here. So anyway, verse 9. You, good news preaching woman of Zion, go up on a high mountain. You, good news preaching woman of Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. The gospel that in Isaiah, this good news preaching woman of Jerusalem of Zion shouts out is the good news. Here is your God. And that's what we read in Mark. This is the good news of Jesus, the King. Here is the Lord. And based on this translation of Will Gaffney's, part of that good news is that women preach. Part of this good news is that the patriarchy is demolished. It's done and over when God is king. Part of this good news is that our faithlessness is disappeared, so that God's faithfulness is all that remains. Part of this good news is that God is king of and for all people. All people get to see the king, all of them. Part of this good news is that God removes every hill and valley and rough place. And all those things that we set up to harm and separate people, racism, sexism, classism, ableism, and other fallen powers, the good news of God as king is that we are set free from those things that keep us captive. The good news is liberation, which is today's theme. Jesus, the key of David, sets us free. And I don't know if you can see the actual image behind me very well. It's kind of a picture of that Easter icon of Jesus reaching down and pulling up the dead from the grave, setting us free from all things that bind us, even death itself. This is what the good news means. It means comfort. Comfort my people. It means that Jesus is King, the King who makes all things right. And I say to us a hard word that's difficult to grasp, but it's one I hope that we can hold on to. That all of this good news is right now true, though we can't see it yet. We have some work to do, and we have some waiting to do, but that doesn't make it any less true that God is King, Jesus is Lord, and is making all things right. Lord God, help us to see that, to trust it, to live in your hope. Help us to be partners with you in bringing down high places and filling in the places where people might trip and to smooth out the road so that we can run freely. God, help us to be people who partner with you in your mission to restore creation, to bring about shalom and peace and love and beauty in the world. Help us to wait. Help us to wait well by working, by trusting, and by being your hands and feet, working in these ways in your good world. Amen.